Your mom was fun. Pistol, that woman. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the battle, and I've talked 8 weeks about different battles, but now we're going to move into the battlefield, which is the New Testament side of it. That's where we are. See, the Old Testament battles were all physical, and they were brutal and bloody. Man, as I was reading through them, it's like, what's that all about? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Seriously, man, because you come into the New Testament, and it's kind of stopped. Not the battle of the, what I want to talk about, is which is our battle, which is the battle of the mind. It's a spiritual battle that we're walking in. And here's the truth. If the enemy controls our thought life, he can manipulate our emotions. Put that in your toolbox there. Here's what he does. He makes us feel defeated, guilty, failure, depressed, unworthy, suicidal. Where do you want me to stop? That's the enemy. Yeah. That is not you, and that is not the people who throw stuff on you. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. So his strategy has always been the same: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's it. That's his strategy. That's his strategy. He doesn't have the ability if you're a believer, but that's his strategy. So it all started in the garden. Gay kind of touched on this Wednesday night, which was a simple confirmation for me that I was headed in the right direction. It all started in Genesis, the very first couple chapters. Here's the first verse. Maybe. There it is. So the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden?" Now notice this. Eve caught what he was trying to do. She says, "Well, of course we may eat from the trees in the garden." He set her up. The woman replied, "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat." And God said, "You must not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die." And then Satan said, "You won't die." The serpent replied to the woman, "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Wow. So God who made me, listen, Satan, the enemy, I'm not going to give Satan the credit. Listen, Satan's one guy. He's not omnipresent, which means he can't be everywhere one time. He's got bigger fish to fry than Steve Van Zandt. You know what I'm saying? But his little imps, he's got plenty of them to go around. And so that's what happens. But Satan painted God like he was withholding good from them. He does that. Those thoughts that we have that say God is against us and not for us, that is Satan. It's not even the person that tells you that. For years, I was raised and people telling me how bad I was and how God's withholding from me. It's just not true. That's the enemy. I'm going to show it to you here in Scripture. So Adam and Eve were already like God. They were perfect and whole. They really were. You realize there wasn't a thorn one. There wasn't. When they, evidently, because of the way the Lord presented it after they ate the fruit, evidently babies were going to fall out. There wasn't going to be any pain in birth. Yeah, they wasn't going to have to toil for the food, so it was just going to pop up and probably cook itself. I don't know how that would work. But I want you to understand, Satan's strategy hasn't changed. Again, his lies, his deceit, his accusations are from the one named accuser. I've told you the word Hasatan. The word Satan is the noun. The word Hasatan is used 6 times in Scripture, and it's the verb. I call him the verb. Do you understand that, those of you English majors? He's not just this one that just sits down. It's what he does, Hasatan. And he's the accuser, the adversary, as it literally translates in. He is the accuser. You know, in the Scripture where it says God is love, 1 John 4, I believe it is, where it says God is love, that there it's used as the noun, agape. But then prior to it, he says, if we don't love, agapeo, which means the verb. You cannot be a noun in love unless you're God. Got it? Okay, that's not even here, sorry. So Here's what he wants. He wants your mind, pure and simple. And he knows, watch this, if you will believe wrong, you will live wrong. So we must stand strong in the truth to fight the battle. Now, I want to show you a scripture. This is out of the Old Testament, but there's power in this scripture. We all know it. And here it is. Coming slow. There it is. All right, forget all the Hebrew words there. I'm going to go around the Hebrew words, but that's what I use to vet it. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We all know this scripture, right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So I dug through all that, and here's the SVV version. Steve Van Zandt vetted. Absolutely no device of war, no created or pre-planned oppressive load of hardship or worry shall make any progress or succeed. Every tongue that rises up to validate and prove anything against you in a courtroom of judgment, you shall condemn as guilty. You shall condemn as guilty. This is the God-given property of those who serve and love and adore Jehovah, the one true God. Their proof, their defense, their acquittal, and their righteousness is from me, firmly declares the Lord. Our righteousness is from him. I've said it 1,100 times. Until we grasp that, there's going to be stuff in us that just kill us. Let me find out where am I page. Here I am right here. So, Satan is the guilty one. You are not. Satan is the guilty one. You're not. You have to believe that. He's the guilty one. You're not guilty. He's guilty. The reason you're not guilty is because of Jesus, not because of you. So don't go there and go, oh, I'm guilty. No, you're not. Because if you're in Christ, you're not guilty. If you don't know Jesus, come step up to the plate, ladies and gentlemen. There's some really good stuff with him, man. He's an incredible God. So believing right, watch this, believing right doesn't stop the attack. It wins the battle. This whole coronavirus thing's driving me crazy because what's happening is it's just spreading fear. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say what I just said again because this is what just came to me now. Believing right doesn't stop the attack. It wins the battle. If you go out and it's pouring down rain, you use an umbrella, right? Okay, why? It's not going to stop the rain. It's going to stop the rain on you. You get it. So it doesn't stop. But listen, when we are in our position with Christ, watch this, not our condition of who we are, but we're in our position with Christ, we're all good. What's our position? Read Ephesians chapter 2. You'll get it. Or actually, read 1 first because it talks about Jesus and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father doing his thing. And then you go to the second chapter and it says we're sitting there right with him, sitting, not working. How wonderful that is. I have no fear of no coronavirus. I don't drink Corona. I actually have a friend that I said, man, you must have that virus. You've been drinking that thing for years. That was totally free, by the way. That's nowhere near my thing. So here's what it's saying. Watch this. No weapon shall prosper because of his perfection, not ours. His perfection, not ours. So here's the battlefield that we battle. Again, we're no longer doing the physical battle. How cool is that? But the battle is the same in this way. God wins the battle every time. If you'll go back to the Old Testament, we talked about all those battles. What happened? God was basically, get out of my way. I'm going to win the battle. And he used some weird ways to do it. But he won every battle he ever fought. The times like Ai, where they stepped in and did their own thing, it didn't work because they stepped out of him. And who? Stay in your position, not your condition. All right. So, here it is. Satan is the king of first-person pronouns. Satan doesn't say, you have an addiction. Satan says, I have an addiction. You get it? The times where you have those thoughts are what's placed in there by the enemy. People will point, you've got an addiction. That doesn't hurt you near as much as when you say, I've got an addiction. Because here's the truth. He wants you to believe that's who you are. And I know there's this whole thing with and listen, I'm not dissing AA or NA or any of them. But if you're a believer in Christ, you are not, you know, I'm Steve Van Zandt, I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm not. I'm a believer that struggles. And I struggle, but I still believe. And I'm going to keep believing until the struggle is over when I'm dead. That's the truth. So, and again, I'm not dissing the teaching. It's all good because it's helped a lot of people. But you are who Jesus says you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are. But you have to believe you are. So here's what happens. He wants your identity, but he can't have your identity. Because your identity is in Christ. Do you hear that? Do you believe that? Okay, then here, I wrote this. You're going to repeat this after me. You ready? Got to be it. Do it louder. I'll make you do it over and over. You ready? I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I am righteous because God declares me righteous.
I am righteous.
I am healed.
I am healed.
I am holy.
I am holy.
And I am forgiven.
Because I live in Him.
This is who I am, and I refuse to believe anything that says I'm not. Believe it. Because if you believe it, you receive it. If you doubt it, you do without it. The Bible is clear. In this new covenant that we walk in, the Bible's clear that the battlefield is the phronio, is our mind. Here's scripture for you. We're human. This is 2 Corinthians 10. We're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And we are taking every thought captive to whose obedience?
Christ.
Why? To the obedience of Christ, because He's the perfect one. He's the perfect one. We're not. So you can try to obey till the cows come home. There's a Texas saying. It's not going to the obedience of Christ. What do you mean His obedience? His obedience took care of everything for us on the cross. Everything, man. So let me get back here, man. I'm on my third page already. Y'all should be happy. Strongholds, watch this, are those beliefs that have been in us forever. Strongholds are the beliefs that have been in us forever. That we're not good enough for God, that we're terrible to God, that God somehow is overlooking us to make us find something bad we do so He can kill us and send us to hell because that's His heart's desire. Yet the Word says, for God so over the top loved the world that He gave His only Son. Why? That whoever believes in Him, wow, isn't that a hard one? Just believe. You don't got to do. You got to believe. Yeah. We'll have everlasting life. Life, 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 Zoe life. That's every, I say it every week almost. It's your whole incorporated healing, all of it. It's just all in the words, three little letters, Z-O-E, Zoe. It's powerful. It's powerful because if you go in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, most of the time they use the word life. It's about living, breathing. And a lot of us just live and breathe. Jesus says, I came to give you Zoe and to give you abundant Zoe. Yes. Hooper is the Greek word. Y's are pronounced U, by the way, just so you know in Greek. So now you have a class. Hooper. Like hyper. So, I used to try, this is so true, man. I used to try to capture my thoughts and drag them to Jesus because I thought that was the route to go. Capture my thoughts and drag them to Jesus. But that was, I was a miserable failure in that because I couldn't do it. I can't capture my thoughts. I can't capture my thoughts. That's why it says, see what it says, see right there? See it? And we're taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. So instead of me focusing on my own disobedience, I started focusing on the obedience of Christ and what he did. Good night, at any point in time, he was God, y'all. He was God. He could have just turned us all into toads and went on about his business, and God could have started over, but probably wouldn't want to because we're so ugly. But God so loves us. Do you see it? As ugly as we are, God so loves us. That Jesus sat on the cross for 3.5 hours on the cross, taking in all the yuck of us. Boom, boom. I'm sure 15 minutes of it was probably mine. Sorry. So, then I realized, here you go, you're going to love this. Once again, it's not about me, it's about him. Again, capture our thoughts into the obedience of Christ. Scripture. For Romans 5, for as through the one man's disobedience, talking about Adam and Eve, and they ate the apple or whatever it was and all that, through one man's disobedience, the many of us were made sinners. Totally unfair. So, through the one obedience of Jesus, the one, many will be made righteous. So, this very next scripture here, I want to show you something, and it's my last scripture of the day, so here it comes. There it is, Romans 3. For everyone has sinned. I know there's people who don't think they've sinned. I've had people basically say that, but I told you all this story, but it's true. I had a girl back when I was young that said she had never cussed, but then added to it, she had never even thought of a cuss word. So I threw out about 50 of them, of the best ones I knew, and I said, you've thought about them now. That's the true story. How can we get there? All of us have sinned. It's our nature, our human nature. But we don't live in our human nature if we live in Christ, right? All right. So we've all sinned and fallen short of, holy smoke, of God's standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. But here's how he did it. Watch, it's a simple thing. Simple yet complex for Jesus. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Not just our, but the penalty of them. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. So people are made right with God when they believe that Christ did what I've been telling you forever he did. He sacrificed his life. He shed his blood. There cannot, if you go into Hebrews, it talks about it. There can be no forgiveness if there's been no shedding of blood. You go back into the Old Testament, they had to kill all these animals and stuff. I just put a thing on Facebook. There's a crazy good meme, and it says, it shows them putting the blood on the doorpost of the Passover lamb, and it says, he wasn't looking inside to see who was worthy. He was looking at the blood. Do you get it? That's what Jesus is, the ultimate sacrifice. Read Hebrews, y'all. The ultimate sacrifice, man. He did everything for us so that we're not looked at. Even if you go back into the old thing, the only thing the priest ever looked at was if the lamb was perfect, not the sinner. The lamb had to be perfect before it could be, not the sinner. So you can rebuke the condemnation of the enemy. I go back to what we talked about earlier in Isaiah. I think one of the greatest examples of that is Job, the story of Job. We know that Satan went to God and said, you know, we know the story. And the truth was, Job was totally and completely innocent. So then all his buddies come in, his three little buddies, and they start telling him how bad he is. And all he did for the whole time was telling them, look, I'm innocent, look, I'm innocent, look, I'm innocent. And then at the end of the story, the young buck comes in, Elihu, and he says, all you older guys, you didn't get it. You need to really nail him. So then he really nails him. And then God comes in after all that, still God knowing that Job was innocent. And God starts talking to Job. Were you the ones that threw the stars in the sky? Were you the one that started the, were you the ones that did the rivers? Were you the one? And so finally at the end, Job's like, man, God, I give up pretty much. And then we know the story, right? Then God gave him back twice as much. God blessed him twice as much. But let me tell you something. It did not happen till he did one thing. He prayed for his friends. He prayed for his friends that had told him how bad he was. Why? Because he understood that the enemy is not your friends. The enemy is the enemy. That's why God wants us to understand that he is the one who wins the battle. It is the battle of the Lord's, not mine. And the closer and the quicker, that's why I tell you all the time, you can't offend me. Because you really can't, because the one that offends me is the enemy. I hate his guts, if he has any. I do. I hate him. I hate him with everything in me. I hate the enemy because I see what he tries to do to God's people. But when you start believing correctly in what Christ did for you, you'll start rebuking the enemy instead of the people who you think are against you. Man, oh man, oh man. So, that was free too. Did I finish this, all of this? Not yet. Okay. Let's keep going. So watch this. This sacrifice of Christ shows that God was being fair, watch this, when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in the past. Wait. Stop there. Grab that in your little heart. People who had already died, he's saying that Jesus took care of them too. Do you have a credit card?
Yeah.
Let me have it. To keep forever. Give me the one that's loaded up so you can't. Okay. The credit card's actually inside this little holder because you want to make sure it's perfect so it can be used perfectly every time. I get it. Well, I'm going to pull your credit card out and everybody write his number down. And the back number is. If I use your credit card today, go right now, go in, I'm going to go on Walmart and buy me a new toaster. And so I pay for the toaster, and it's $25. I didn't really pay for the toaster because I don't pay for the toaster till the bill comes due. Okay. So prior to Christ dying, everybody had a credit card. You get it? Then the bill came due, and what a bill it was. He was bruised for my iniquity. By his stripes I am healed. Yep, credit card is, all of it says, Yeshua Yamashiach, Jesus Christ. Don't spend too much on that credit card because the bill will come due. So look, so he says, so this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in the past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. Stop right there. That's us. Right. Jesus died 2,000 years ago or however many. We missed it unless this is true. You get it? So he was looking ahead to Steve Van Zandt, and he included me in what he would do at this present time. God did this to demonstrate what? His righteousness. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. There is part of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's a sword when the enemy comes in to you that you can use to hack on his ugly face. It's truth. So, I'm almost finished. For a long time, I preached on right living for years. And nobody ever lived right, including me. And let me just pause and say this. I don't think honest believers want to live bad, just that their belief systems, their strongholds haven't changed. believing right releases the power of God, the Holy Spirit, for us to live right. Because you can't help when you believe what he did for you, the love relationship that's created, that you can't help but live right, because he's the most important thing to you ever, ever. So if the enemy can point you to your lack of law obedience to determine your stand with Jesus, he wins. And that's where you rebuke him. It says you condemn him as guilty. I can't tell you the times in my office where something has come up and I want to get angry at a person or a thing or a situation, a circumstance, and I just stop and say, you're the one that's guilty. When that thought comes to me, Steve, you're such a liar. You're the liar. He's the liar. He's the guilty one. I have the perfect advocate, the perfect defense lawyer, and that's his name. His name is Holy Spirit. And if you study that out, you're going to see he's the defense lawyer. Satan is the accuser. He has never, ever won a case, ever. He's caused you turmoil and torment when you've been on parole and or what's the other one? Parole. Probation. Probation's the easy one. Parole's the, That's not from experience, by the way. It's just. Listen. Every time the accuser, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. And you're going, yes, I did, yes, I did, yes, I did, yes, I did. And then Jesus defends. And then the big mallet comes down from Judge God and says, not guilty. Not because of me, but because of him. That is just stupid love that I don't think I'll ever grab. So I want to say that again. If the enemy can point you back to your lack of law obedience, he wins every time. Again, I go back to the condition. We are in a horrible condition because we're human beings. We are all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet our position in Christ is completely different. We have our condition and we have our position. Stay in your position. That's what happened in the Old Testament when they battled. How many times did it say in those battles? They stood their ground, they stood their position, and watched God do it. Stay in him and watch God do it. You get out here in your condition, you're going to try to fix it. It just doesn't work. So I have three more things to say. No, I don't. I have two. The enemy puts a bad thought. Here's what he does. Now watch. Pay attention. The enemy puts a bad thought in your mind, then turns right around and condemns you for thinking it. You get it? He'll tell you, man. You know, I know you struggle with alcohol. I know you were an alcoholic, but now you believe in Jesus. So you should just go out and have a drink. And you listen, and you go out and you have a drink, and then he same guy comes in and goes, look what you did. Look what you did. I'll never forget, we had a couple in California that, was it California? Yes, it was in California, and he was a monster drug addict. He was a crackhead, and I mean, they lost hundreds of thousands of dollars because of his addiction, a $700,000 home. He lost his job and all this, and it was a mess, but man, God came in and did a miracle in their life. And in fact, it was such, and she would, the wife's always, well, I say the wife, I should say the spouse is always the last one to believe the change. He had a crazy experience and actually called me on the phone. He had overdosed, somehow had enough sense to call me on the phone. So I go to his house, he's really overdosed. I'm cramming potassium, bananas, which is potassium in him, trying to get him down. He had this, he didn't know the Bible at all. He had this experience of this, I saw this great light, man. And so I explained to him, Paul had the same experience on the Damascus Road, and all this. Anyway, immediate, complete wholeness from being a horrible, horrible drug addict. And it's like I said, his wife was the last one to get it. And, you know, because what happened was he came into the church and everybody's loving on him and his wife's going, okay, sure, yeah. 8 years me putting up with that stuff. And you want me to just, you know. But anyway, the cool thing is she came around. And they ended up, actually, we moved to Oklahoma. And they ended up coming to Oklahoma with us. They just really felt strongly they wanted to still be with our ministry. So we're in Oklahoma. And Tao comes into my office. And he's bawling, man, just bawling. And I'm like, Tao, what happened?
I smoked some crack last night,
And he was just falling apart. So I listened to his story. What had happened was he was working. He was a big buff guy. He was a trainer. And he was working at Gold's Gym. And he said this guy came in, and he said he handed him a crack pipe with a rock of crack and said to him, man, I don't do this stuff. I got this at a party last night. I just figured you'd probably want it. And so he handed it to Tao. I said his name again, sorry. And so he's just falling apart because he did it. And I said, Tao, yeah. Sorry, he's just, yeah, he's probably listening online or whatever. It doesn't matter, it's true. I said, dude, you don't see God's hand in this? And he looked at me really weird. I said, name me every one of those times when you were a drug addict that somebody walked up to you at random and gave you not only a free rock, but the pipe to smoke it with. Name that to me one time. I said, do you not see the enemy in this? You're taking condemnation that belongs to that. How stupid is he? And I said, you're free. You're totally free. But I know what you did. That's our life. That's where we struggle. That's what I'm saying. He is the enemy. He is the guilty one. You are not. Stay in your position in Christ, man. There is wonderfulness there. And pray for your friends so you can get double the stuff you already have. Yeah, that's my prosperity message for this week. All right, I'm done. Come on up, Chuck.
I just want to say something. Did anybody in here get out of that message that you can go smoke crack and still serve God? I'm serious. Did you get that out of that message? I want you to understand, this message is not to condone sin and give you a license to sin. That is the devil. This message is to say that we will all fail. Do I want to fail? No. Do I try to do right? Yes. How many in here, seriously, you want to obey God because you love Him and because you know that the consequences of sin are going to hurt you? Really? Really, I want to obey Him, but can I tell you this? If I was perfect and if I did everything right, I would still go to hell unless I believed in the power of Jesus Christ. My condition that I'm perfect is not going to get me through. The thing that's going to get me through is recognizing that He is my help when I fail, when I go down. And I want to tell you something. People can judge you for what you do on the outside, but there's not one of us in here that's clean on the inside, because your mind's always thinking about somebody else. And that's why I want you to hear this word today for what it gives you. It's a freedom from those things. And it is the freedom when we fail that He will prevail. I want you to stand with me right now. I want to know if you're in this room today and you need that power of God because you've been so condemned, would you just lift your hand right now? Oh, amen. We need that power. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just ask You for those who are calling out right now, God. We want to believe right, God. Lord, we don't ever want to use You as an excuse to be in agreement with the enemy. Our agreement is with You, Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't want to be those things, God, that destroy and tear down families and hurt us, God. But we need Your help and Your power today. Lord, I want Your love, Your perfect love, to override condemnation and fear today, God. Let us walk in wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Our associate pastor, Chuck Lang.